Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August the 12th, 222nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning, the gal in the little funny car.
You like my little car, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Shriner car. Jill Duffy. From the Humboldt Waste Management Authority. Well, okay.
I know.
You don't have to wear the funny suit then and go honk honk every time you turn the corner.
Well, you know.
But almost.
It's just such a huge downsize from that expedition that I had for all those years.
Yeah, I mean, I can put probably three of those things in the back of the truck and, you know, save you gas mileage.
My son and I have actually kind of joked about the fact that I could fit my Mini in his
drive a ramp up and yeah.
But I will tell you, it's great fun. And if you've got a 100-mile-a-day commute, it's kind of nice to enjoy the drive.
So why didn't you get a ragtop?
Oh, it's got a sunroof.
No, so?
Well, you know.
You got hair.
I got hair. It could definitely flow, and then yeah. I would never be able to get another brush through it again.
Yeah.
It's a great little car. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend them.
Okay. If your inseam is under 32 inches.
There's lots of leg room. Anyways, that's totally besides the point.
You people got a quote, like, there?
Great,
have
whatever.
You found one?
Well, we did find one, and I figured you would appreciate this. And this is from Sigmund Freud. I have found little that is good about human beings. In my experience, most of them are trash. And that is your segue into today's conversation.
Le dump.
There we go, to the dump. There's a lot of fun things about the dump.
What is the challenge right now?
The challenge right now is I'm writing a date in your book, so that
way you can't read it again.
Okay.
Only one dumb quote exposure per book, huh?
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
It. Now we're done. What is the current challenges? Well, you know, we talked the last time around.
Yeah, it was kind of like the decommissioning and the ending and goodbye and it's over. And is it?
We are moving along very well. We've got the liner that's been installed, and I was out there on Tuesday, and they're dropping in the vegetation, you know, cover. So we're on
You're
track.
You're like the sod rolls and things like that?
Well, they're actually not sod rolls. It's going to be a minimum of 2 feet of soil, and then we compact it down and put vegetation. It's all very exciting.
Oh, good. So it'll be available for the next wildfire
exactly.
to participate in.
Well, actually, we've got a lot of deer that run through the property. So, but suffice it to say, we are looking at being finished with landfill closure by about September 30th of this year.
Done, lock the gate, goodbye, never want to see you again?
Well, that would be nice, but we have to do 30 years worth of monitoring. So we will continue to have a presence, you know, on the facility and our regular activities. But what it then frees us up towards is the mandate by the state. And many people over the years have heard things called AB 939, the 50% reduction of material that is going into landfills. You know, that was put into place just a little bit before 2000. And, you know, everything that we're doing now is finding ways to divert solid waste from landfills, identifying those materials that could be recycled, diverted, or otherwise reused. And, you know, the state is moving pretty fast and furious. So AB 939 certainly established that 50% diversion goal. Many of our local entities are pretty darn close, if not in compliance with those. And most recently, there's a legislation that was introduced, AB 341, but it essentially establishes a 75% diversion goal by the year 2020. And we're talking, you know, 5 years from now.
Things to reflect upon as we go to break. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Joe Duffy. Joe, the 939, AB 939, I don't, you know, most of us don't stick numbers unless there's dollar signs in front of them.
Absolutely.
And it's attached to our wallet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the 50%, cutting down 50% of what's going in the dumps. Okay, I think most of us kind of...
got that.
Yeah. It's an interesting situation in talking with business folks as well as individuals and now apparently special districts and JPAs, that when we think we have done it, cut to the bone, baby. There's nothing left but sinew and marrow. Oh, and you find another 15 or 20%. Oh, okay. We had one of those here. We thought, boy, it was a couple of things shift, and all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Right, right.
So when we hear people talking about 50% diversion, oh, that's all we can do. That's all we can do. Mm-hmm. And then the governor says, I don't think so. Whoosh. Is there wiggle room? Is there feedback? Is there discussion? Or do these numbers just arbitrarily pop out sometime during the election window to say, and we got to do more? And then you guys are scrambling, trying to find those aha areas, mm-hmm, where you can go, ah, we found something.
Well, I wish it was kind of that simple. Actually, it comes about as a result of different, you know, pressure points and lobbying activities, and our state representatives take it up. And, you know, one of the challenges with a lot of our elected officials is, you know, they ran to help represent whatever the entity they are on. And most of those entities are struggling either financially or in terms of services and meeting a myriad of legislative mandates that are in place now. And so when there's new legislation that is coming about, having that opportunity to have good constructive input can sometimes be, pretty challenging. So that deeper sort of level of discussion, oftentimes it gets punted to various special interest groups. It doesn't matter who we're talking about. It could be CSAC, California League of Cities, Public Works Directors Associations, as well as any other number of organizations. Those
because
are the ones
that
I'm more familiar with.
Because they have the knowledge, at least to be able to argue,
yeah,
or because
primarily
they're vested and they bring passion to the table.
And they're the ones who are going to be responsible for implementing many of these programs. And those programs oftentimes, are essentially unfunded mandates. And so the state says, thou shalt do the following things. And then, you speak with those representatives and you say, but, how do we pay for this? And, it sort of gets, kicked down the road somehow or other. And so...
Oh, Jill, you're a creative young lass. You can figure that out all by yourself.
Oh, we've got all sorts of things. And so in the world of solid waste and, what that comes down to is programs and services and identifying how we begin... working to identify where there's, sufficient material that we can work on diverting it, and diverting it in such a way that it's not going to be more expensive than what we're currently handling right now. And I got to tell you, sometimes that is, when we run some of the analysis, it's like, well, this is great that we can find another home for this kind of material, but if we're running in the red, We gotta find some different alternatives. You can do that with some materials if it could be offset with a gain in another. So it's that overall.
Yeah, it's the sum.
Yeah. The other thing that happens, of course, is there are increasingly a number of regulations that occur. And I'm going to use the example of recycling right now. Here in the Eureka area, we have the recycling centers that typically have been available so that people could bring their CRV material in, and then you turn it in, your aluminum can and your bottles that are CRV, and you get your 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever it's going to be. As a result of some reporting requirements, increasingly you're starting to see these smaller ones begin to shut down. And
just
the authority,
manpower
and it's the amount of documentation that you have to provide.
Associated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
why are you doing that?
Funny enough, it has to do with the surrounding states. There are people who are in Oregon and Nevada and in Arizona where I think there's a little paranoia happening here. But apparently it's a big problem in some of the larger cities. But people will collect large volumes of material out of state, bring it in state to collect California redemption value.
So like Medford will come down to
weed. Pull the money out. Yeah, you got it. And so in an effort to stop the fraud.
I never thought there was that much money.
There's a lot of money.
But apparently there must be.
There is a lot of money. And so the state is imposing all of these, you know, documentation, and you have to present your, you know, driver's license if you go above a certain threshold, blah, 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 blah. So what has happened is it's become so onerous for these smaller, you know, businesses to do this that they've been just slowly, you know, shutting their doors.
Just can't do it.
And so for us, what that has meant is we've seen a 20% increase since about June. And that is a, you know, it's resulted in a little bit more congestion in terms of activity at our facility. And, you know, certainly our guys are just, you know, really having to work in order to get that material moving through because we've just seen such a jump.
And even though Eureka isn't a border town.
That's correct. We still have
everybody
to meet the
in the
same
state
standards.
Has those reports.
That is correct. That is correct. You know, so you know, fortunately, you know, in our facility, and you know, we're not the only ones that are able to do this. Everybody is able to provide different levels of services. We're able to do just a little bit broader and robust as it pertains primarily to household hazardous waste, but certainly, you know, being able to have this sort of one-stop shop. So you've got your CRV, you've got your scrap, you've got your, you know, cardboard and glass, appliances and e-waste. That's all diversion. And that's how you start working towards that 75%.
Really, recycling counts towards
yes,
that?
Yes, it does. And so in the case of, you know, household hazardous waste, we've now have paint care as well as a household hazardous waste and, you know, our fluorescent bulbs and things like this. And two programs that we're particularly really pleased with to help us get there is carpet care. We're able to divert and recycle carpet. And so many of our local haulers are doing that, and it's less expensive than going to the dump. And so, you know, that's been pretty fun.
Well, it depends on what dump you define as being the dump.
Well, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jill Duffy from, I know, almost said it, huh?
You almost did?
Almost did. Well, I was trying not to say afternoon.
It's all good. Feels like a long day already.
Yeah. You know, we're only halfway done with this thing.
I know. It's actually kind of amazing. It feels like we've covered a lot of ground.
Well, I'll slow things up then.
All right. Very good.
Jill Duffy.
I've got my morning coffee.
General manager from, Humboldt Waste Management Authority. Joe, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the diversion of recyclables and other products. Mm-hmm. Count towards this magic 75% figure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm still kind of surprised that that counts because I think, you know.
It seems like a no-brainer, right?
The dump is the dump.
We're a transfer facility.
Oh, okay. Well, you go hoity-toity up on that one. Yeah, if you're bringing in tree bits and pieces because you can't slash burn anymore.
That's correct.
Okay, fine. But I guess that would count then also. And you got all these other things that used to just be taking care of what you're supposed to take care of.
Well, we used to put it all up in the landfill.
Well, I'm trying to think. You know, the computer stuff is relatively recent, but I don't remember anybody ever dropping off a range. And put, you know, it was always taking it to wherever you were supposed to. Now, it might have been at Table Bluff.
Right.
And what happened then, what do I know?
Right.
But I guess it was the legal thing, the right thing to do at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happened to it, happened to it. So it seems like there's almost a definitional change going on as well as the cultural change.
Yeah.
Is that tough to keep abreast of?
You know, I guess not from my perspective. I actually find it really, sort of challenging and pretty exciting to see what some of the possibilities are. One of the things that we talked about a month and a half, 2 months ago was, the world has changed over the last, 40, 50 years and how we produce products. And so we're almost kind of going back in terms of simplification. So keeping some of these more highly manufactured materials out of landfills. Same thing for green waste. Why would you put green waste in?
You used to
compost
burn it,
right? Or burn it, yeah. Use it for hog fuel, whatever. And, right. That's a challenge for us right now because while we have, green waste that can be composted, there's a lot of wood waste. And a lot of that waste used to be used as hog fuel for some of the local power plants. We've only got one now. And so...
And they got enough?
They've got more than enough. What's happening now is a lot of that material is being sent over to Wheelabrator, which is located over near Redding, Anderson,
area. She's too bad you can't use that as a backhaul for the garbage.
Isn't it amazing? I know, but it's both going the same direction. I'm not suggesting that we take Redding's garbage. All of those things do count. And of course, Humboldt County was, probably ahead of the game as it comes to green waste because Cummings Road Landfill was looking at reaching capacity within a, particular period. So it was, where's the low-hanging fruit?
And citing it up there was, when they shut Table uh-huh. Bluff down, I can remember it was hammer and tong mm-hmm. trying to find a place. And I guess there was some other place that was in the running that was a bigger, deeper natural that didn't make it for whatever reason.
That's funny. I have a vague recollection. That would have been, 91, 92 or thereabouts? Anyways. Oh, no, it would have been earlier than that. Much earlier than that. No.
I was
way too
60s.
Young for that.
Yeah, I think it was 60s, early 70s or something.
I was way too young for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I remember the garbage trucks going past Worthington Elementary School when I was there.
Okay.
Heading out. So, mm-hmm. That's kind of date both of us, huh? Because
you
said it relative to me. So what are some of the surprising things now that are seen as either recyclable or non-garbage that are coming through the process that folks are getting excited about?
A couple in particular. One is something that, as we've been, we tried to ease into it because it was a matter of figuring out, does this actually work? Is there going to be sort of some long-term commitment to continue this program? Not on our behalf so much as who we were sending the material to.
The receiving end,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And one of the more surprising ones was specific to carpet and the foam, the insulation foam that's associated, and all of that can be basically pulled apart. And
it kind of looks, the stuff looks like wafer board.
Yeah, they're able to some of the products that they're able to do is that's the look if you look at the front of your car, your dashboard, so they're able to reconstitute that
the plasticky
material.
Stuff mm-hmm. or the fuzzy stuff that Elvis would have had.
Not the fuzzy Elvis thing. But so like dashboards and different car components and things like that, so that's pretty exciting. We've got a meeting that's going to be coming up with the intention of being able to roll out a program in the next year. And when you kind of hear it at first, you kind of stop. And it has to do with mattress recycling. And so mattresses are large, bulky items that take up a tremendous amount of space. And when you think about mattresses, it's cloth, springs, and wood. All of that stuff can be teased apart, and you will have some residual material that will go, obviously, into a landfill, just not salvageable. But we were going to be working with California Mattress Recycling Coalition, and they're working at putting together a statewide program and then having collection locations. And this is one of the purposes for our meeting, is to figure out how to make it easier and easier for people to do the right thing in terms of taking their mattress in.
Do most people want to do the right thing?
I think a lot of people do.
Lazy by nature?
No, I don't think people are lazy by nature. Okay. I think that if you put hurdles in the way, it's, so it's like remove the hurdles, make it easier to do the right thing. So whatever.
So you would probably have satellites out of Eureka.
If we're able to do something like that, that would be great. But, you know, there's about, and here's where the kicker comes in. There's better than 6,000 mattresses a year, we really do have these numbers, that get put into landfills because we really do have to do that kind of tracking. But when you go buy a mattress, you're paying, was it $10 or $12 per mattress, and it's part of this extended producer's responsibility. And so what we're going to be working on with this program is that when somebody has a mattress, and whether they're bringing it to us or they give it back to whoever their retailer is, the retailer will bring it to us.
Well, kind of like tires.
Free disposal.
Reverse of how the tires.
Yeah. And in this case, well, yeah.
Packed on the front side rather than on
correct.
The back side.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'll have an area, and so there would be no charge to the disposing of those mattresses. So, you know, that's going to be a little interesting to figure out the implementation component. But in the big picture, it's the right thing to do. It's a pretty straightforward thing, and it's pretty exciting when you think about being able to get that material out of the landfill and then back into a product that's going to be reusable.
Maybe we'll put a CRV or an ORV.
ORV?
Or an NRV or an ARV. Do the same thing back at them. KIS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Jill Duffy.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Joe Duffy. Joe, some of the different challenges that are out there, you were talking about mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get it? Does the community get it? Do we see the opportunities? Do we do what we're supposed to do?
I think by and large, again, if we were able to make it easier, people do, and they do enjoy being able to participate in that. You know, you were asking earlier
enjoy.
About... Yeah, they do. I was like, when people find out about paint care, when they find out they can drop off their household hazardous waste, people get pretty excited.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Help me clean up my mess.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
now,
no,
there
they
you
do.
Go.
It's
okay.
It's actually kind of fun. You know, one of the next big challenges when you were asking about challenges of coming up, there's a piece of legislation. It's kind of referred to as the organics legislation. And this is something that businesses who generate more than 4 cubic yards a week of organics, whether that's food waste, green waste, or other types of organic material, it has to be diverted out of the waste stream. And so that's going to be kicking into play by about 2017. And so there's going to be some real challenges associated with developing the facilities, because right now there's only one place that can take it, and it's actually more expensive.
Garden?
It has to actually go through a composting then.
Oh.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be
like
some
that?
Sort of processing. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to be sitting down with the, you know, this is something that the state has taken an interesting approach. They make it a mandate to businesses and multifamily residential, but then the onus is upon the jurisdictions to make sure that those entities are actually handling the material the way they're supposed to be. So we're having some conversations about, again, how to make it so that it's more affordable and straightforward to do. Yes.
What was the name of that science fiction movie, Soylent Green?
Oh, jeez. I finally saw that for the first time just a couple
months
ago.
Put it in a big grinder, just grind it all up, use it as fertilizer.
There we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to be something to watch. And, you know, many of the jurisdictions and the authority are having some conversations about how we can, you know, move forward to create something that's going to be affordable. I mean,
and that's in place. It's going to happen.
The legislation is in place, and it's going to happen. And you know, so moving on to this weekend, I would like to get this in, and I know I'm going 450 miles an hour. For folks that are in the Ferndale area, we would certainly encourage. We're having one of our household hazardous waste collection events at Ferndale High School on Saturday, August 15th, from 9 until 2. It is our 7th year.
That means 20 seconds.
Oh.
2-0.
See? Well, I
now
believe that one.
Now you're down to 15.
And then we're going to have a pharmaceutical collection event with the Moose Lodge, and that's going to be on August 29th. Please contact the authority for any information. We'd be happy to get you dialed in so you can
that's
bring your medications.
That's what we helped you out with last time,
huh?
The
pills.
It is. Yeah.
Yep, that would be that's fantastic.
Frightening stuff. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for the time.
Have fun hanging out at the dump.
Alrighty.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day.